I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better. In my chat today with Lynn Dang, we talk about the danger of burnout, about streaming with authenticity, and about appearing at physical events. And Lynn tells us her three rules for community management. Joining me today is Lynn Dang. Lynn has worked on games such as Summoner's War and Palia. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hi, everyone.
Lynn, I understand you did something quite unusual career-wise when it comes to community management. You started working in community management straight out of college. Tell me how that happened, starting at the beginning.
Yeah, so I wasn't expecting to become a community manager right away. I went to school, I had a degree in business, right? But I wasn't quite sure what my future would be. And it wasn't until I attended this after-school panel, right, where they got people in the industry to speak. It was careers in the game industry. And when I attended that, just out of the whim, right, it was free after school. And then I realized that, wait, this is the connection. This was the spark. You know, the gears turning in my brain where I was like, I love video games. I could have a career possibly in this. And that happened junior year, that event.
Okay, so junior year is for a non-American audiences. What does junior year mean?
Third year. So like the one prior to senior the last year. That was when a lot of internships were opening. So I was like, okay, let me apply to places like Riot, Blizzard, and the like. And I immediately got rejected from all of it. I had no chance whatsoever. But that was a wake-up call because I realized like nothing in my background made me stand out. And I learned that there were other students who were more prepared. I learned that if I wanted to increase my chances, I would actually have to get more involved and understand this industry. And so I found out that there was a video game development club on campus. And I joined that, and it was such a strange experience initially, admittedly, because I was the only business major. It was a club based on the computer science and engineering. So a lot of students were more programmer-oriented. I was the only business major, and I also saw that we didn't quite have a lot of artists, right? And to make a game, you need a combination of many different skills. And so I started getting involved, trying to understand, okay, how do we make games? I learned we used Unity. I got more involved on the operations side, so I joined the board really quickly, trying to raise our membership, joining game jams. It was like a snowball of events and getting more responsibility, but I fell in love with it. And so I started organizing more events, that responsibility eventually turned into community management. Because it's a lot of involvement, talking to players, right? Mm-hmm. Talking to people, getting them excited for things. And that allowed me to have a background. So when I applied, right, to my role, they were like, we're going to take a chance on you. Because they normally didn't hire college students, right? But they decided to attend a career fair. It was like stars lining up.
Right, where they could see that company, you showed passion for the industry, that you had this experience that you could get as a student. So suddenly you were a little bit more interesting to the games industry than you were beforehand.
Yeah, to say that I made games, I even published it on the Google Play Store, right?
No way.
Yeah. So,
wait, you did some coding?
I was mainly the project lead and the game designer, so I would come up with the ideas, work with the programmers, and then try to make sure we did it within the deadlines. Because for game jams, like, you usually only have 48 hours to make a game. But that led to me getting a community management job right out of college, and it was a wild experience. I could go from there, but yeah.
Can you tell me what company that was or what games you were working on straight out of college, if it's relevant?
The company was Comptus, so it was a Korean mobile game company. And I mentioned that the biggest title was Summoner's War. We also did some other third-party titles like MLB, I think, NBA, licensed titles.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But primarily the ones I was in charge of were all the gacha games, right? Yes. The anime-styled ones, yeah.
And I understand that you actually were already a player of one of the games of the company that you that took a chance on you.
Yeah, it really helps when I was interviewing that I mentioned that I played their games. Like, I would pull up my account and show it, right, to show my progression. And I even recognized the person who would become my hiring manager. I think that really helps with first impressions to not only say that I recognize the game, but I played it. I understand the community, and I even watched their streams. Yeah.
Well, that's incredible. It's such an industry of passion, isn't it? That, that so many people want to work in the industry, and the person who can show the passion for the particular game they're going to work on has a big head start.
Yeah, so, and it helps fold into, like, everything you do is, like, as a player, you have that perspective already of, like, this is what I would love, this is what the community would love, because you're connected to it.
So going into the industry or working as a community manager straight out of college, did you feel young? Was that an issue for you?
Yes, I still do. I would say almost every team I've been a part of, because it's been 7 years now or so since I graduated. Still, though, every team I'm a part of, I'm one of the younger folks on the team.
And how does that feel for you?
I would say there is a bit of, I have to prove myself, right? Like, mm-hmm. in terms of first impressions or in terms of trying to prove that I am a senior community manager, right? I've reached that level, but I'm still younger than folks on the team. There's this sense of what I say and what I do, my cadence, my impressions. I want to prove that, right? Yeah.
I think that's good. I think it's good that you're more inspired to do what you do.
I'd say the biggest advantage is that I tell folks I can speak Gen Z, because I'm technically I'm not a Gen Z.
Please not with me. Yeah. I'm definitely not Gen Z, so I'll be lost if you go down that path.
I'm a millennial, so I'm like that between years where I'm like not, I don't fully relate to all millennial things and I don't fully relate to all Gen Z things, but I can, I say I could be the bridge. I can translate between the two.
Well, that is a powerful thing. You do quite a bit of public stuff, I understand, or have done public stuff where you're streaming on behalf of the game, or you're running like live streams. How's that been for you?
I wasn't expecting it, because before I worked at the company, my first job, I didn't stream at all. So it was more of the other community managers, I would see them stream, and then it was an expectation. So they fortunately ramped me up in terms of responsibilities, because I was a fresh college grad. And so when it was time to finally do the stream, it was very much a hype moment. It was a build-up moment. So players in the community knew who I was, and I spoke regularly in like the Discord server. But I would not appear in the streams yet. That was my coworkers. And so they would hype it up to say, oh, eventually Lynn, right, is going to be on the stream. It's going to be a face reveal. That's how we presented it, right? And so it was very much...
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, but I approached it more of like, okay, well, I'm going to be my awkward self, and I don't mind that, right? They already knew me by, like, I would see regulars, right, that I would hang out with in the Discord and in the community every day, but now it's just the face-to-face kind of connection. And so when people saw who I was, it was like, oh, wow, like, it kind of matches your personality already. It's nice to meet you, right? And so it was another level of getting to know the community, and that's what I enjoyed. Whereas connecting with people through texts or comments, that's one way. And then mm-hmm. being able to hear people, like have people see my reactions, have the audio connection is another. And I liked providing that, yeah.
Do you have any tips for people who might want to also have to start doing live streaming for their for their job as a community manager?
I would say be authentic, right? I mean, it might differ because you're doing it for the company. Ultimately, you have to have a professional side to you. But at the same time, I think every community manager brings their own style, their own approach to things. And I do recall very, very silly moments on the streams where I think what helps is that I didn't hide my facial reactions. So if someone said something very idiotic in the chat, I would be like, come on, right? Or like if something silly happened, like in the game, like I was losing, I was like, oh, you know, I didn't hold back. And I think people really liked that in the sense that when speaking with officials, people are so used to, like, you know, button up, very, you know, professional responses. So to have someone be a community representative that expressed this wide range of emotions, that could understand, you could relate to, really helps. So that's my advice. Bring your own style to it.
Let your personality shine through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It must be one of those things that just gets easier the more you do it too. It's got to be hard for everybody at first.
Yeah. I won't deny that it was emotionally draining. Like, after every stream, I would be like, oh, I would melt, right? I purposely scheduled them to be Friday afternoon. So as soon as I was done for the week. So.
And did that kind of ruin your Friday evening because we were all worn out?
No, I'm one of those where, like, the perfect Friday evening is watching, you know, TV shows or a book, or, like, I'm decompressed, right? The week was long, so let me, like, recharge, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, you told me in advance that you also like doing physical events. Got any, like, nice positive story about a time you've done physical events representing a game as a community manager?
Yes, I would do fan meetups. I would do convention appearances where we had booths out. I even shoutcasted for an esports tournament. And I loved that, like, it wasn't as frequent because of COVID and all that. But it was another, again, I talked about the different degrees of how to connect with community. And this was another one, where it's in person now. You can hear them, like, you can even, like, hug people, right? And so I really enjoyed that it transcended the screen. People that I was used to, I knew usernames of them, I knew their profile pictures, but now I could put a face to it, and it's a real person, right, on the other side of the screen. And I have a lot of memories where people would come up and say, oh my gosh, right, I'm so happy, like, I bought all the merch, or, like, I'm cosplaying as this character. I even remember one family, like, it was a husband and wife, and they had two kids, and they dressed up, they all cosplayed. It was so adorable. Wow. Yeah.
I gotta say, that is one of the things I like about going to industry, the really big games conferences, is the cosplaying. Like, it's something I would never do. It's just alien to me as to why people do it, but I do enjoy seeing it.
Yeah, or I would say it's like Halloween, right? Sometimes you just want to dress up and pretend to be a little different, right, uh-huh, for the day.
And the people coming to the live events and physical events, do they sometimes treat you with a little bit of fandom themselves, like, because they know you from streaming and from other community management media?
I would say there were some cases, yeah, where people would be like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, my online handle. I've even met moderators, because, you know, every community needs good moderators to function, right?
Yeah.
And so having, like, I would meet them at these events, or we would go for dinner or anything, and it was just so nice to, like, meet with your team.
Let's move on to some tips you might have for other people who are community managers and struggle with aspects of it. I think everybody struggles with it. How did you learn to do your job better, especially coming to it so young without any really, I don't think there is formal training for community managers. So how did you learn how to do it from day one?
Oh, I would love it if there were formal training, but I've learned from many other CMs, you're kind of thrown into the fire. So was I in that sense. I learned a lot. So I think because of my background, starting out with mobile game titles, right? And I would say they gave me the ones that were smaller in scale. The communities were stable. The game had already launched for a number of years. And so the risk was low, I would say. But my manager at the time, or my director, he was open, saying, Lynn, you can do whatever you want. Just don't burn the community to the ground, right? If you need a budget, let me know. And so I ran wild with it. I tried so many different things. I would try different social media campaigns. And it allowed me to really experiment and learn, right, when the risk was low. Right, it wasn't our biggest, you know, selling game or anything like that, but it allowed me to really learn what works, what doesn't, how to present it, because sometimes you'll have the best idea, but if you don't execute it well, right, it just kind of flops. And I took, like, I learned a lot from that, and if I failed, it would be fully my responsibility. I would have to own up to it, I would have to explain. And I think that kind of experience really, is trial by fire, but it, very valuable. Yeah.
It's one of the best ways to learn. And it sounds like you had a person you reported to actually let you take risks. Did you have to try and get their permission beforehand, or they would just really honestly say, what you do, we support you in?
Yeah, it was a supportive case where they trusted me, and you know, for these titles, it was very much like the community is established at this point. So what can you do? Like, if you want to be experimental, if you want to try things.
Hey, listeners, a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com. So that's some really nice positive experiences. What about something negative that's happened to you as the community manager that you're happy to talk about?
Happy to talk about negative experiences. Well, I think it's important because I do get people who ask, what's it like being a community manager? And I don't shy away from the more negative experiences. I'm open in saying that's not for everyone. Mentally taxing, especially if you have a large community to manage, like there's a lot of feedback, there's a lot of conversations happening, and you have this sort of responsibility to try to take all that and then condense it in a way where you explain it, you know, to the development team. And I like to use the analogy that you're like the lightning rod, right? It's a lot of energy, and it's not directed at you, but it's you're handling it, right? And so I think it's super important to have a lot of mental fortitude, to have a lot of empathy, because in a way, like retail, you'll have angry customers who just want to, maybe they're venting and they're using very choice words, but it's never at you, and it's never, like very rarely it's going to be, oh, you're a terrible CM. It's more like they, how I like to phrase it is, they care so much about this game. They are so like impacted that they're making an effort to give you this feedback. Whereas someone who didn't care, they would just leave, right? They would just be gone. And so this is a moment, right, to understand this is their frustrations, this is their, you know, anger. But as a community manager, you still have to represent that. Yeah.
And it must be hard to have to deal with that type of feedback time after time after time. It's okay if it happens once every month or once every week, but if you've just got, like, for some reason, five people in a row who want to use some choice language to tell you about your game and your company, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, there have been moments, especially if there are times where updates will happen and we know in advance they're not going to be good, but like there's usually, you know, a justification or like there's a reason behind it, and you can do all the best in the world to try to explain, to try to have it land better. But there's always going to be people who interpret it certain ways, or like genuinely they're upset and they have a right to be. But that's kind of the trade-off in this role, right? For yeah. all the highs, there are the lows. Yeah. And so it's so important to keep your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Have you had good support in the companies you've worked for in that regard? I'm going to rephrase that question because I don't want you to have to make any judgments on companies. But what type of support would you say is helpful that a company could offer to people, to community managers who have to deal with this?
There are definitely moments where I have a particular memory of a manager. Like, it was a tough time. We had a not-so-well-received update, and the Discord was on fire, naturally, right? And I remember, you know, one of my superiors, they were pulling me aside saying, I can tell you're, like, distraught. Like, it was showing, even physically. Do you want to take a break? Because it's true, like, these are the things people don't see, you know, at the end of the day. But, and you're so connected. You're the CM. You want everyone to be happy, right? But it's a twofold kind of experience where when people are not happy, you try to see, like, what can I do? What can I do? Like, how do I make this better? And so my supervisor saw that and then pulled me aside, and it was just, let's ground yourself, right? Let's have, like, breathing. Like, you got to decompress, because, like, for you to help others, you have to be strong yourself. You have to help yourself first. And so even if there are moments where, yes, it's going to be waves of all this negativity or all this feedback, even positive. If it's just a lot in general, you are alone, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a lot of moments of understanding when to step away so you can recharge and come back better.
So a good supervisor is one who's looking for that all the time and is ready to step in and say, let's take a break. Let's you know, do something we can do to get away from this briefly.
Right. And you're so used to being connected, like, online all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Learning to know when to step back on your own might be hard. So having that other person care and look out for you really helps.
And maybe just to remind you that, you know, you can't answer everything all the time, that it's okay if there's nobody from the company into the Discord for a half an hour or an hour or overnight. Right. Like Discord, I have a love-hate relationship with Discord. Like, every time I go in there, there's so much stuff that wants my attention, that wants me to read. And yeah, so I just go to visit one particular community, and then I find that all the other ones drag me in, and I'm looking at conversations that really I shouldn't even be looking at.
Yeah, and I like to ask, like, how many other businesses out there have a 24/7 running operation in the way that Discord servers are?
Exactly. It's a good point. I think you mentioned to me when we're preparing for this that people don't read. I assume no one ever reads, but write for those that do. Tell me about this.
Right. In my time as a community manager, I've come up with some rules. I would call them rules, actually. That's more natural to me, of what to expect as a community manager. So CM rule number 3. Assume no one ever reads, but write for those who do. So I think anyone who's been a community manager or even has written copy, right, to any extent, will know that there's always people coming in saying, what was that? They'll ask questions, they'll repeat what was already in the content you wrote. And I've come to accept that, right? You can't be upset anymore. So the phrasing of this is meant to, as advice, to say, you know, not everyone is going to understand. Not everyone's going to read what you write, even if you put a lot of effort into it. But the way you craft your document is for those who do care, who do read and pore over every detail, because then they'll be equipped to help others. So it's not all on you as a community manager. It's an interesting way to go about it, but I've had cases where, especially if it's a large community and you're just like the only one on shift for whatever reason, people will come in asking questions and then other community members will help. And that's kind of how I go about writing my communications, my announcements, my blog posts or things like that, where it's a moment where the community can come together, right, and converse and share. So that's what the rule number 3 is. Don't be upset if people come in with lots of questions, but also empower others to help you.
That's really nice. I like that explanation. Should I ask what rule number 1 and 2 are, or is that a topic for another day?
We can go over it, yeah.
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. Rule number 2 is that your time as a CM is spent in 2 phases. One is I'm telling you now, and the other is I told you so.
Okay, now you've got me curious. What does that mean?
I think, truth be told, expectations of what a CM does vary per team, per studio, right? There are times where there's an adjustment period where you kind of have to really justify that, hey, I'm the subject matter expert of our community, of our players, right? So you might be in like a brainstorming session or going over the next content update or a sprint, and you'll pitch in saying, hey, I'm telling you now, I think players will react this way or that way. It might be positive, might be negative, it varies. And then we go forward with it, and then the reactions come in. And because you kind of see the future a little bit, understanding your community so much, you point and say, aha, I told you so.
And how to say that so that they respect your opinion next time, or just because you just need to?
Yeah, in a sense, it's a lot of validation to know, like, this is how you solidify, like, I'm the CM and this is what, you know, I'm here for. I truly understand the player base and I'm advocating for them, right? Mm-hmm. Giving them a seat at the table, so to speak, that's the phrase.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've had rule number three. We've had rule number two. We're working backwards. It's like a countdown. Rule number one.
Yeah. Rule number one. What do you think it is? I'll leave it open. Any guesses?
Rule number one. Let's see. Something about... No, I don't know. No, tell me.
Rule number one is actually always keep them engaged. So always give people something to comment on, to question, like just how I drew you in, right? How, and I think it's a core component of being...
Oh, I feel I took the bait.
I think it's a core component of being a community manager, right? You're about engagement. You're about giving people a good time. And so one of the ways I put this into practice is... I might leave teasers, right? I might say something that might be super innocuous, like, oh, I'm having ice cream, right, as a treat. And then next week we have an update that's ice cream themed, right? Or I'll ask questions purposely to get people interested. In a way, it's a little like marketing almost, but it's fun. It's like, you know, a teaser. And that's I like it when you get others involved, right? So it's not just a one-way street. It's people coming together and enjoying things. So that's rule number one. Yeah.
Always be engaging.
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. That's three nice rules there. One of the things you also mentioned to me offline is about don't be afraid to ask your community. What's that about?
Right. Oh, yes. So there were times where I would be the only community manager, you know, representing the entirety of the global community, right, which is quite a lot to handle. But it also left me with moments where I was like, all I can ask is my community, right? So I wouldn't be afraid to ask them for help, to ask them for their opinion. And I've seen sort of this pitfall, especially for younger community managers, where they come in saying, oh, I have to know everything about my community. I have to, you know, represent them. So there a lot of assumptions are made, or a lot of things are moved forward without really kind of having that touch base moment with your community. And so that's the advice I give of don't be afraid to... It might seem like you're showing a bit of vulnerability of like, oh, I don't know things. But I would say more times than not, people appreciate that you're taking the moment to listen to them, to ask for their opinion, you know, of like, how would you go about this? Of course, there is a line to thread of make sure what you're asking is something you can actually see through, right? Don't want to make empty promises. Hmm. But I feel like it's an important moment of connection when a community manager is able to, you know, provide that for the community.
I guess asking is much better than assuming, you know, and being wrong and looking like a fool, actually. It's right. Better to let people talk. And it's amazing how much some people know your game. Spent so much time in it, they know
right.
More than most people working on the game could ever know about it.
Yeah, and it's the power of many, right? Where there were people who they're like walking encyclopedias. They just know everything. They know the formulas. They know like the units by name and by damage and all that, right? And I think it's just worthwhile to rely on that.
I wanted to ask you what tips you have for game studios looking to hire community managers.
I've had moments where I've talked to people who they're like, oh, what does a community manager do? Or I know that it's important for a game to have a community manager. What should I be looking out for? And it's interesting where I've seen cases where there's like a focus on the camera, the on-camera presence, the kind of personality where they're great public speakers. It draws people in. But that's only one half of the role as a community manager. There's the other aspect where, yeah, at the end of the day, you're the advocate for players. You have to represent their needs. And so the tip I would offer is look for someone who they seem extroverted, but it's because they have to for the job. You want people who are able to have a back seat because it's supposed to be for the players, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that balance.
Thank you. Final question. What game have you been playing lately? I like to ask this of everybody on the podcast, so I'm asking you, what game have you been playing lately?
Ooh, so there's this very indie game that I've been playing. It's called Ember Ward. It's developed by one person, and it's a mashup of tower defense, roguelike, and I think Tetris. So
wait, imagine Tetris.
Yes. Okay. So when you think of tower defense, usually the map is already predetermined, right? Mm-hmm. But in this game, you have your little pieces where you can build out your map, and it controls how the enemies come in. And so you start setting up your towers. It's hard to explain just, you know, vocally, but I definitely recommend people checking it out. It's currently in early access, but it's been so fun. And the fact that it's made by one person is so impressive.
Yeah, it's amazing what some people get done by themselves. See, some of these one-person games that often are as enjoyable as the games made by much larger teams. Okay, yeah. I'll make sure to include that in the show notes for people who want to go and check out Ember Ward. Lynn, where can people get in touch with you or follow you if relevant?
Yeah, it's funny because despite doing social media a lot, I'm usually not on many platforms, but I think people can follow me on LinkedIn, yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure that's also in the show notes. Okay, that's all we have time for today. So, Lynn, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Steve, for hearing me ramble a bit. I hope people had something to learn from it all, yeah.
It's been a pleasure. Bye, Lynn.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Community Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode, please spread the word and share it with friends and colleagues who you think would also enjoy it. You can find all the episodes on your favorite podcasting platform or at featureupvote.com/thecommunitylounge.